Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. You have your way in us. Have your way in our midst. Have your way in our life. Have your way in our ministry. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have here in our service Pastor James and Moretta. And while I was praying just then, the Lord reminded me of something that he put on my heart at the start of this year, that this is a bridge year for so many people. And when you're on a bridge, you're not quite in the old, but you're not quite in the new either. It just seems like you're kind of in the middle. And I sense that for you guys big time, that you're not quite in the old, but you're not quite in the new either. But you're getting ready to go into a brand new season where the Lord is going to shower out his favor upon you, upon your family. Even your children are going to come up higher in some things and walk in a fuller and greater anointing, just a richer anointing coming from your church and coming from you as individuals. And even abroad, I hear that in my heart, that there's some things going on, that even doors that will open up, even abroad, that you'll carry a rich, full anointing into the places that you go into. But just stay faithful and know the new is on the horizon. You're right there. You're about ready to step into it. But you're not in the old either. You're leaving all the old behind. Every bit of the old is falling apart, falling away. Every bit of the old bondages, old chains, old things that have holding you back, and stepping into a new season of God's grace and favor. Amen? Amen. I tell you what, I love Pastor James and Moretta. They are precious, precious people. They pastor a wonderful church over in Byram. We're thankful. Thankful to have them. Amen. Let's just wait on the Lord here a little bit. Father, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dean, do you have something? Thank you, Lord Jesus.
This is the time and this is the season when supernatural connections shall take place. For you see, when the Spirit of God drew you to Himself, there was a divine connection that took place. It was the Spirit of God coming on the inside of you to connect with your being, to charge you up from the inside out, so that spirit, soul, and body, you become controlled by the Spirit of God. But then God, as He changes you from that connection, He begins to connect you with other people. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, He connects you with them, so that you can be fully equipped to do the work of the ministry. And those divine connections that are ordained by God will help you to become all you're supposed to be. They'll equip you to do all you're supposed to do. And you'll have everything that you're supposed to have. But in order for you to stay connected, you must be in the Word of God. His Word must become alive on the inside of you. And as the Word of God becomes alive on the inside of you, it'll start connecting to your spirit. It'll connect to your tongue and your mouth. And you'll start speaking these things out of your mouth, because that divine connection from heaven, it'll be loosed on the earth. And the power of God that's in the Word will come out of your mouth. And the faith of God that's on the inside of you will be released. And your faith has been designed by God to change people and places and things. Because things that are done on the earth, they ought to be done by the power of the Spirit. They should not be done by the arm of the flesh. And as you stay connected to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of prayer, and as you stay connected to your local church, and as you find your place and serve in the body of Christ, you'll find out that that connection that's caused you to be strong, it'll begin to go out from you. And your family will become strong. Your children will become strong. Your siblings, they'll become strong. The places where you work, they'll become strong because they'll be infused with the power of heaven because of the divine connections. This is not the time to try to be connected to the world or the ways of the world because they'll take you down. But the way of the Spirit produces life and health and strength and peace and joy and victory and everything good that God's ordained for you to have. So rejoice and be glad and make a determination in your heart. I'm going to stay connected to the Word of God. I'm going to stay connected to prayer. I'm going to stay connected to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to stay connected to my pastor and my leaders in my local church. And I'm going to stay connected to the things that God has called me to do. And in the end times, you'll get stronger and stronger, and your light will shine brighter and brighter, and your strength will be enforced many times over because you're staying plugged in. You're staying connected, and God will set you apart. And you'll be fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work, because you stay connected.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, that's been on my heart. I may mention it in a couple of minutes in our message, but we need to be more sensitive than ever about the divine connections God has placed in our life. How many of you know there's some people and there's some things that God has directly tied to you? And has placed them in your life. And as we go into a new season, and as God looks to do His full work in us and through us, it's imperative that we know who we're connected to, because there's supplies that God has ordained for them to give us and you. You can't get anywhere else, but you got to be connected to that. And so with that, you got to be connected to God. Your worship life, it's critically important in this season. You having a strong connection with the Father God is critically important. But also a strong connection with His Word. We need to be getting in our Word more. Amen. How many of you know we can do that? But then also getting connected with the people God has placed around you. That God has placed, not you have placed, but that God has placed in your life. Understanding who that is and getting the supply that God ordained for us to get from them. Amen? Amen. Turn to someone, tell them, I'm going to stay connected. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you guys tonight. Aren't you thankful for our praise and worship team? And amen, all the work they put in there. I tell you what, the Lord has blessed us with some good folks. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this evening to the book of John, John chapter 11. I covet your prayers in a couple of days, and we'll be going over to Botswana, Africa. Going to go see Reverend Jerry Lackey. He came and preached for me in March, did our weekend services. We're going to go see his work over there, help out there in his church. And then have any of you ever heard of Ed Cole? He's passed away now, but any of you remember Ed Cole? He had a strong ministry to men, and now his son has continued that work, which is wonderful. And so we'll be over there with him and another guy named Rob Carman, and we're doing a big kind of maximize manhood thing for the pastors there. And then after that, we'll go over and see Jerry's place, his church, all of those things. So I covet your prayers and just believe it'll be a very fruitful trip. I've got a strong witness in my heart about that. But don't worry, I'm going to leave you guys in good hands. This weekend, you don't want to miss it. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. We've got Reverend Scott Webb coming in. He'll fill in for me. And Reverend Scott preached a message a number of years ago called Bounce. In fact, I actually took some of that message without him knowing it and preached on it, handed out the bouncy balls. Anywhere you remember that all the way on 18? Handed out the bouncy balls and all those wonderful things. But he'll be here this weekend, Saturday, and all three services on Sunday. And he'll be preaching that message. He just turned that message over into a mini book. And so we'll have the mini book available for anyone who wants one. But you have to buy it. But it'll be available out there. But then we will have a bouncy ball for everyone who wants one for free. So anyway, it's just one of those messages that's timeless. It's classic. It's one of my favorite messages he's ever preached. So come out and hear it. But also, if you know of anyone who may be going through a tough patch in their life and needs some bounce to them, to come back and believe to see all that God has for them, then get them here. Bring them here. We believe it's going to be a very impactful service. And, of course, next Wednesday's first Wednesday will be a praise and worship service. So you guys won't miss me a lick. Y'all are in good hands. You're going to have loads of fun. But that's what's going on these next couple of services. So you don't want to miss that. But while you guys are having a blast, I'll be having a blast over in Botswana. So keep me encouraged and lifted up in prayer while we are over there. We had some exciting things happen in the ministry here lately. We sent out our partner letter. Any of you get our partner letter? Amen. If not, sorry about that. But I suppose you could maybe call and ask for it, and we could send one to you. But with that, the Lord has had us just in a real big seed time and just sowing seed. And I'm excited about that, because what comes after seed time? Harvest time. And so if the Lord has you in a bigger seed time than ever before, guess what's coming up after that? A bigger harvest time than ever before. And I believe next year is going to be the harvest time of all harvest times in the history of this church. I made mention of this Saturday night during the service, but I didn't get a chance to in the other services. But I was up at camp meeting last week, had a great time up there. And during the Wednesday night service, a pastor by the name of Daryl Huffman was preaching and just doing a great job. And towards the end of the service, he came down off the stage and he pointed to a minister who was sitting in kind of over in this section. He pointed to him. They were about on the second row. And he said, "Come out here." And so the guy kind of stepped out. He's a pastor over in Lafayette, Louisiana. And he came down to the front and he said, "I've had you on my heart the whole time I was preaching. And just felt like I was supposed to call you out. And the only word I'm getting for you is breakthrough." And so he laid hands on him, just said, "Breakthrough in Jesus' name," and just laid hands on him. Well, after that, well, during that, when he said that word breakthrough, the Lord spoke to my heart. Aren't you thankful for the Lord and his voice? How many of you know his voice? Why don't you say this with me? Say, "I know the Lord's voice and the voice of a stranger I will not follow." Amen. And so the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "I want you to, your church, to give his church $50,000. And so I kind of laughed about it and said, "Why not $100,000? I'm just kind of joking with the Lord, because he's had us giving so much away here lately. And he didn't get the joke, I guess. I didn't sense any laugh back. He just said, "No, give him $50,000. So I said, "Okay." So after the service, I went up to him. And we know each other, kind of. We've met each other, talked maybe 15 minutes, but that's the sum of any of our interaction. And I came up to him and said, "You know, when he said the word breakthrough, the Lord put it on my heart for my church to send your church $50,000. Well, I was kind of waiting for a response. You know, you tell someone you're going to give them $50,000, you're kind of waiting for something. Not that you should be, I guess. But anyway, he just kind of looked at me with this blank stare. And so I just said, "Well, God bless you." Text me your address, gave him a phone number. I said, "Text me your church's address where we know where to send the check," and walked off. Well, about 3 minutes later, my phone beeps, and it's a text from him. And he says, "Forgive the expression on my face and my responselessness. But last night in the service, I told the Lord we need a breakthrough in our ministry financially in the amount of $50,000. So he said, I'm speechless, I'm overwhelmed. Isn't it wonderful to be used by God? I said, isn't it wonderful to be used by God? Friend, it is far better to be a giver than to be on the receiving end. It's just a blessing to be used that way. So anyway, I kind of laughed about it and just said what a blessing it was to sow seed in obedience to Christ and just looking forward to the harvest, all of those things. And so we rejoiced in that, and we sent that check out. So I said all that to say this. Be believing with us for a great harvest. We are really diligently in this season, or I am really diligently in this season, believing God for direction about our new facility. And our new facility will be a connection to this facility in the sense of the foyer will be expanded. We'll build a new sanctuary that seats probably right at 2,000 or so. Some offices, expansion of our cafe, restrooms, all of those things. It's probably going to cost around $12 million. Now, we could go ahead and borrow the money. We've taken enough financially and have enough profit every month where our bank would go ahead and loan us the money. And we could start construction and start drawing and all those things tomorrow if the Lord led us to do that. But with that, I'm waiting on the Lord because right now we have about $1.4 million in cash. By the end of the year, we'll probably have anywhere close to $1.82 million in cash that we could throw at a $12 million project, taking $12 million to $10 million. So with that, if we kept going in that direction, a $10 million loan, if you did it 15 years by about 5%, it'd be about $79,000 a month. That'd be your monthly payment. And we can afford that. If the rate went up to 8%, if we went ahead and locked in a rate at 8% for 15 years, it'd be around $100,000 a month. And we could afford that. But with that, we're waiting on the Lord to see exactly what He has for us. Because I don't want to lose our capacity to do what we did this past week. And to sow when the Lord tells us to sow large amounts like that. With that, I'm believing just for a harvest year. Whatever takes place next year, I believe it's going to be supernatural. But one thing, after that, Thursday, I went over to a church in Tulsa called Victory Church. Pastor Sharon Daugherty, they're about to turn it over to their son, Paul Daugherty. Sharon's husband, Billy Joe Daugherty. Any of you ever heard of Billy Joe? Wonderful, wonderful pastor. He passed away a little while ago. So with that, Sharon has been doing a lot of the intern pastoring, and her son Paul is about to take over the church in August, actually. So they're very excited about that. But I had a chance to go talk with them and just kind of tell them our story, encourage them in the Lord, and just get to meet them, just sweet salt of the earth people. And the Lord's got amazing things in store for that church. His heart is pure. I like Paul. This is my first time, but he's got a good heart. It's amazing what the Lord can do with a good heart. The world looks at talent. God looks at the heart. And it's amazing what the Lord can do with a good heart. Just sharing our story, just had a wonderful, one of those divine connections like we were just talking about. And afterwards, I came up to Miss Sharon Daugherty. You know, she's walked with the Lord for years, and the Lord has used her ministry in mighty ways. And anytime I get around someone like that, I always ask them to lay hands on me and bless me. I believe in that. I mean, if I bring in a guest speaker, you can ask him. I'm unashamed. I come up to him and say, look, I know we just ate lunch, but I want you to bless me. I know we just blessed the food, but I want you to bless me. I believe in that. With that, she came up to me and just blessed me. But while she was praying, the Lord spoke to her heart, and she mentioned that example of Moses that I mentioned a good bit here. When Moses was standing on top of the mountain with the rod of God in his hand, and sending strength, the strength of God from Moses on that hill to Caleb, who was out in the field, and enabling Caleb to fend off territory for the kingdom of God and for the nation of Israel. I said about a year ago that the Lord told me that that's why He wants this church to be a strong church. We're a church that is like Moses on a hill, and the Lord needs us to gain strength. He needs us to have strength so that we can send that strength to Caleb's out in the field enabling them to take territory in their communities for the kingdom of God, as well as to beat off the enemy who may be trying to take territory in their kingdom. And the Lord has promised me that if we would do that as a church, that if we would use the strength of this church from a financial standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint, that if we would do that, then He would do for us what He did for Moses. And in that story, we might look at it here in a minute. In that story, you remember what happened? Moses' hands were getting tired. And that happens to a lot of pastors. They just get tired. It's amazing what happens when you get tired. Oftentimes when you're tired, it leads to you forsaking the vision that God's given you. You give up on your highest expectations and your greatest dreams when you're tired. And so with that, get rested. I said, come on, it's okay to talk with me. This is a church. This is a church. I don't mind if you talk back to me. A little bit of encouragement never helps, never hurts. So with that, when you get tired, it leads to you forsaking the vision that God has given you. And Moses got tired there, and his hands went down. And when his hands went down, that strength went down. And so there were two men, Aaron and Hur, who saw this. And so they came up and put a rock underneath Moses and said, why don't you sit on this rock? Just sit down for a minute. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to sit down for this. You sit down for this. And so Moses sat down. And when he sat down, they came on either side of his arms and helped him lift up his arms. They used their strength to keep his strength up. And that enabled Moses' strength to go out to all these people out in the field fighting off the enemy and getting the enemy off of God's territory. And so the Lord spoke to my heart sitting there on the beach about a year ago and said if we would do that, if we as a church would use our strength and cut $50,000 checks when He tells us to cut it without blinking an eye, that if we would do that, then He would send into this church Aaron's and Hur's who would help uplift our hands and keep this church strong. So anyway, while Sharon Daugherty's praying for me, the Spirit of the Lord came on her and she started prophesying to me. She said that. She said, the Lord is sending and has sent Aaron's and Hur's into your ministry. And there's more to come who will come alongside and prop up the church. Enable the church to be strong in the earth and mighty in the earth so that that strength can be sent out. And I started laughing, and when she was done praying, I said, that's exactly what the Lord's been dealing with my heart for. And so over the next year and a half, I'm believing to see this ministry grow in strength. Saturday, I was praying, and the Lord told me to go over to Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's go over there and look at it. Exodus 1 and verse, all this is for free. We'll go over and just stay in Exodus, I suppose, for a minute. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7. I was just praying, having my devotional Saturday morning. And I felt in my heart I was supposed to go over to Exodus. And that's rare for me, for my devotional, my private devotional, to go over to Exodus. I don't know why, but whenever I think, let me have a devotional, it's always New Testament. The epistles, you know, I'll read 1 John or something like that just for a devotional. But I just had it on my heart to go over to Exodus. But I didn't know where to start. I didn't have any witness or leading after that. So I just assumed, well, I'll just start with chapter 1 and read from there. And so I started reading Exodus chapter 1, and I got to verse 7, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is what I brought you over here for. Look at Exodus 1, verse 7. It said, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And so I read that, and the Lord said, that's your golden text for this new season. Come on now. That's your golden text, the text that you're going to build off of this new season. That this ministry is going to be more fruitful than ever before. We're going to see more salvations, more rededications, more people water baptized. Wasn't that awesome this past weekend? More people water baptized, more people filled with the Spirit of God, more signs, more wonders, more healings, more fruitful than ever before. And so that's coming up. And then we're also going to be increased greatly, greatly increased, greatly increased. And not only are we going to be greatly increased, I'll get excited about it if no one else will. Not only are we going to increase greatly, the Lord's going to multiply us. He's going to multiply us so that our strength waxes stronger and stronger and stronger in the earth until the land is filled with us, just filled with us. And so I'm excited about that. Well, why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because with the church, I need some help with lifting that up and lifting that up to the Lord. So get behind us in your prayer life. Lift up the church and go to Exodus 1, verse 7, and believe God for this ministry, for it to be all it's called to be. This is a safe ministry. In the sense of, I promise you, I'm not trying to build Joel Sims Ministries. I know I say that all the time, but it's the truth. I enjoy preaching in other places, but I tell you what, I'd rather preach here to two snaggletooth women, like Brother Hagin said, than to 10,000 people at another place. I love this church. I'm not a traveling minister. I'm a pastor. And a pastor ought to smell like the sheep. That's a shepherd. He ought to be around his people. And so with that, I'm not going anywhere. I'm 30 years old. I'm 15 years away from my prime. The best days of this ministry are far out in front of us. And so with that, we're blessed. This church is blessed. I'm not looking to do anything bigger for myself. But I do want to make a mark for the kingdom of God. Amen. And I do want a pattern. I feel like the Lord has designed this church to be a pattern for other churches. You ever seen a pattern, like a cookie cutter-like pattern? With that, you can just use that and cut out and all the, you know, if you got a cookie cutter star and you push it in and each star kind of looks the same. I feel like the Lord has raised up this church to be a pattern church where other churches come and pattern themselves after some of the things that we do. And so with that, we need strength to do that. And I feel like I said, in this season, that the Lord is putting people in this church who we're not only helping. Joshua's in the field that we're not only helping, but feel called to help us. I'm thrilled if we help you. I'm thrilled if we can help you. But in this season, we really need some people who feel that calling to come up and help us, to lift up our hands, to lift up these departments, to lift up our church in prayer and get behind us. Because I feel what the Lord wants to do in this church is just some fantastic things in His kingdom. And I guess why I'm saying all this is one, I'm going to be away for you for about a week. And so I just want to talk to you about what the church is. It's 7:46 and I haven't even touched my notes. This is not my message. But just talk to you about where we're going as a church. I was reading a book a couple of months ago about the 80-20 rule. I think I've said this, but have any of you ever read about the 80-20 rule? Basically, the 80-20 rule goes like this. 20% of what you're doing is producing 80% of the results. And so in your life, you need to figure out what's the 20% of what I'm doing that's producing the 80% of my results and major on the 20%. And so anyway, it challenged in the book and said, you know, if you own a business or something like that, it said, go over your customers and judge this and see if it's true. See if 20% of your customers are producing 80% of the overall results for your company. And so I told Ryan Lamberson, who's our executive pastor, I told him, I said, go over and look and see. Look at things like who leads small groups, who comes in and volunteers the most, who's up here all the time, who's faithfully contributing to the church. Go over and look at it. And so he went and pulled the numbers and found out that statistic is true, that 20% of the church is really producing 80% of the results. But here's what we found even more fascinating than that. That the 20% all had one thing in common. You know what they had in common? They all come to Wednesday night church. You're our 20%. And so, amen. And so with that, the Lord put it on my heart to use these Wednesday night services occasionally and to just go over the vision of the church. Because you're the ones who are those Aarons and Hurs, lifting up our arms. And what I'm asking for tonight is prayer support. I covet your prayers. And as we enter over into 21 days of prayer coming up in August, I would love it if you just get behind this church in your prayer life like never before. Let's go over and look at something here in Exodus 17. We just mentioned that example. They'll tie into a little teaching on healing here. I'll get you a little bit before we go. Exodus 17. On the screens, go over to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. I won't keep you long. Get you out on time. Exodus 17. And let's look in verse 8. It said, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in the Ar place. And Moses," don't judge me, "and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." And so Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua put a hurting on Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, I love this point. This is huge. Write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out from remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now notice that. Write this in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Now when you rehearse something, what does it mean? You go over it over and over and over again. Before they lead us in worship, they have what they call rehearsal. And in rehearsal, they'll go over it over and over and over again to make sure when it comes time to actually be put on the stage, you're ready. And so there was a point here that apparently was important enough, a spiritual point here that was significant enough for the Lord to tell Moses, make sure Joshua does not forget this. Make sure you rehearse it over and over and over again in his ears, because there is a spiritual point here that he needs to understand. Apparently, God knew that there'd be one day in Joshua's life where he'd be standing and fighting a battle of his own. And when he got in front of that battle without Moses there next to him, he needed to know when he was on the stage what to do when he got there. There's a spiritual point here. Well, what's the spiritual point? I believe the spiritual point is number one, the rod of God was in the hand of Moses. Now, we know this. Those of you who come to Wednesday night, you probably know a lot about the Bible. You know that the rod of God is symbolic of the power of God, the strength of God, the ability of God. God used this rod to do fantastic things, split seas, bring water from rocks, deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, because the rod represented the power of God. And so with this, we see that the battle was won not based off of Joshua's own talent, strength, and ability, because if it was just up to Joshua's little old strength, power, and ability, he wouldn't have failed when the rod of God went down. And so God wanted to make sure Joshua knew that the reason why he was having so much success was not because he was uber talented. There was a man lifting up the strength of God. There was a man, you could put it this way, with his arms up. And when his arms was up, there was strength going out of him that was enabling Joshua to be successful out there in the field. And God wanted Joshua to know, this is not about your little old talent, Joshua. This is not about your little excellent strategy, Joshua. That all of that mess is for nothing if you don't have the power of God backing you up. And I believe that's a spiritual point in all of us. How many of you know you're not that talented? You may be talented, but you're not that talented. If you ever want to take all God has for you, you don't just need your little old talent. You need some power backing you up. And the only way you're going to get that power is to get your hands up and to turn your attention off of your little old self and over onto God and what He's able to do through you. And so God came to Moses and said, Moses, don't you let Joshua forget where the source of his power was coming from. It was coming from a man with his hands lifted up. And when his hands were lifted up, power went out. And when that power went out, it enabled Joshua to be successful. How many of you know you got to keep your hands up? How much do you praise God? Come on now. How many of you know while you're praising, the Lord's working on your problem? While you're worshiping, it's enabling the Lord to fight your battles for you. Oh, come on now. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they did something. They sang praises unto God. They lifted up their hands, and when they lifted up their hands, the Lord fought their battle. Come on now. How many of you want the Lord fighting for you? Come on. How many of you could use the Lord fighting on your behalf, fighting for your family, fighting in your body, making you healthy and strong and vibrant? You got to keep your hands up. I said, you got to keep your hands up. You got to keep your faith up. Amen. We were having staff devotional this morning, and we do it on Wednesdays. And we were just having a wonderful time, and we were talking about what we mentioned Sunday morning, about drawing upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And with that, we were talking about that, and Dean made mention of, I think it's Ezekiel 37, where there was a valley full of dry bones. And the Bible, I went back and read it after that, after he said that. And it says the bones were very dry. It wasn't just dry. It was very dry. And so the Lord picked up the prophet in the spirit and asked him this question, son of man, can these bones live? And I love his response. You know, Lord. I don't know why you're asking me. You know, Lord. That's always a good response. And the Lord dealt with them. They can live. It can live. How many of you know it can live? Just because it's dead in the natural doesn't mean it can't be quickened in the supernatural. How many of you know the Lord can quicken kidneys? He can quicken livers. He can quicken hearts. The doctor may say it's dying, but the Lord can quicken it. I said He can quicken it. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can quicken and make alive your mortal body. He can quicken your finances. He can quicken your health. He's a quickener. And so with this, He dealt with them. It can live if you'll do something. If you'll do something. See, so many times we're waiting on the Lord and the Lord's waiting on us. If you'll do something. He said, son of man, I want you to prophesy to these bones. You get some inspired utterance behind you. And then he told him what to say. And then when he got that in his heart to say it and then said it out of his mouth, all of a sudden it was like these bones started to rattle and roll, and they began to roll up, and flesh started coming back on those bones, and then a wind came in. It's the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. A wind came in and breathed on those bodies, and those bodies rose up and became a mighty army. What was before was very dry became a mighty army when the Lord spoke to someone's heart what to say, and then that person said it out of their mouth. Friend, I'm telling you, I said this before, but it's big in my heart right now. In order for the plan of God to come to pass in your life, it's got to be spoken through you. The plan of God spoken to you must be spoken through you in order to come to pass. And if the Lord has put something on your heart, friend, it's not time to be silent about it. You got to lift up your voice unto God. You got to lift up the rod of God in your hand and know that when you lift it up, His power is going to touch your life out in the field. Friend, there's some things you got to handle in your prayer closet before you can walk them out in your life. Amen. And so with this, we see, Patsy brought this out while she was here. I'm going somewhere with this. Patsy brought this out while she was here about this story. And it was something I'd never seen before. I never noticed this before. And this is a story I've meditated on a good bit because of what the Lord dealt with me on this time last year. And she said, notice that his arms got tired. And he had to come back, and they put a rock underneath him. And remember how she taught on that and how that spiritual rock is a type and shadow of Christ? But she said something during the service, and I asked her about it in the back room. She said, here you see faith's twofold application. Everyone say, here you see faith's twofold application. She said, there's one side of faith where your arms are lifted up and you're throwing out the power of God. This is where you're praying, you're speaking, you're confessing, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, where you're releasing that faith. There's a side of faith. I mean, when the enemy's coming against you, you need to open up your mouth. Amen. You need to speak to the dead things in your life. Don't just sit there with things being dry. No, if you want it full of life, you got to speak to it. Speak to it. And so with this, there's that side of faith where if something's coming against us, we know we need prayer. We know we need to be talking right. And so there's one side of that, where that side of faith where I'm going to lift up the power of God. I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm going to thank God the problem solved and God's working on the problem. There's that side of faith. But then there's another side of faith, and Hebrews talks about this, where when you get in true Bible faith, you also enter into a rest. And that rest is a type of sitting on the rock. And notice when that battle was won, it was when he seated on the rock with his hands lifted up. And so when it comes to faith, and we're talking about healing, when it comes to faith for healing or any other thing, you got to have that steady release of faith. That steady, you're thanking God for it, you're speaking to it, that steady release of faith. But also, you've got to be sitting on something. And what you're sitting on is what God has spoken to you in your heart. Now, I said this, I think it was last week or the week before. I want to read this to you, though. I said it from Patsy's book. But I didn't have the book, so I missed out a lot. I'll close with this. She talked about the story of Brother Hagin. And when Brother Hagin, his daughter, Pat, had a growth on her eye that kept getting bigger. And back then, they didn't have cell phones and landlines and all those things. As prevalent as they do now, they didn't have cell phones at all, but landlines weren't as prevalent as they are today. So she was finally able to get a call into them, but it was so expensive they couldn't do it every day. And so she got a call into her, Miss Aretha, Pat's mom, got a call into Brother Hagin and said, Pat, our daughter, she's got a growth on her eye that's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know what to do about it. Don't know what you want me to do about it. And so he called her and said, don't worry about it. I'll handle it. And so that night he went and preached. And after preaching, he went back to his room. And he stayed up for 3 hours going over healing scriptures. Now, this is what I'm getting at. He didn't just run to go pray. When she told him the need, he didn't say, well, let's get an agreement right now. When he got ready to pray, before he did, he went and got over into healing scriptures for 3 hours. Then he went to sleep for 3 hours. Then he woke up and got in scriptures, healing scriptures, for 3 more hours. And he said, these were scriptures I already knew. I already knew these scriptures. I could have quoted these scriptures. But I needed those scriptures to come alive in me. See, we said this last week, that before we talk to God or before we talk to a problem, we need to talk to God about that problem and discern his will in our heart. So that when it dawns in our heart, we have something to sit on. That it's not just us praying and it's not just out here flailing with faith or with confession or prayer. It's not just running to a prayer line or calling a prayer chain or just getting in agreement. No, it's taking time to sit down first. Because there are some times where you're in faith, but it just seems like the problem's not being fixed. And it's because you're getting tired. And your hands are going up some, but then they're going back down. And they're going up some, and then they're going back down. Friend, you need to sit down for this. You need to sit down for this. And get seated in what God has spoken to you. And so he's waiting for those scriptures to dawn upon his heart. Notice this. If you can put up that scripture that has to be put up in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now notice this. When we're in faith, there is the ability to cast down imaginations and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When you are seated in faith, you have the ability to take captive every thought that comes against you about that situation. When you're in faith, you have the ability to bring captive every thought that the enemy brings to you about that situation. When you're not in faith, instead of you bringing those thoughts captive, those thoughts are bringing you captive. And this is the fight of faith. The fight of faith is not warring out here. It's warring in here. And it's getting God's word so firm in your heart that when the enemy brings any stinking thought against God's word, you're able to rise up with your faith and say, no, I've heard from God, and I know everything's going to be okay, and I know everything's going to be all right, and I know Jesus is the healer. It rises up within you, and you're able to cast out that imagination. Does that make sense? Must be a big old airplane flying overhead with that. But with it, does that make sense? You're able to bring that into captivity. So this is what I mean by being seated. So Brother Hagin knew this is not just a matter of me praying a prayer. It's not enough to just desire healing or desire turnaround. And it's not enough just to pray for healing or to pray for a turnaround. There's got to be something in your heart that you know the answer is yours before you ever pray. It's like loading a gun. You can have a gun all day long, but if you don't have a bullet in the gun, you can be pulling the trigger and have no effect. And this is what people are doing with prayer. They're shooting an empty gun. But buddy, you take that gun, put in one good bullet, and you got an effective weapon. And so you're waiting in prayer. Before you deal with the situation, you want to be seated first. And so you're waiting in prayer for God to load your gun, to get a scripture that stands out to you, to get a word from the Spirit that stands out to you. And as soon as he loads your gun, buddy, you're firing that baby. You're quoting it, you're believing it, you're standing on it. Does that make sense? And so she said, Brother Hagin did that. And then he prayed and asked the Lord after doing that, 3 hours on, 3 hours off, going over healing scriptures he already knew. What's he waiting for? He's waiting it for it to drop down in his heart. Because remember, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it's not just a matter of speaking unto the mountain. It's also a matter of not doubting in your heart. He's waiting for his heart to know it's going to be okay. So as soon as he got it, he pulls the trigger. And he sent her a message he couldn't get her on the phone, so he just told an assistant, just tell her it's done. And he said, sure enough, the growth disappeared. So she went on to say this, and I really am closing with this. She said, learn a lesson from that. Learn a lesson from that. And the next time you get a bad report, don't jump up and start shouting at the mountain. Don't chant at it and start flailing around trying to push it down. Don't even try to pray real hard. Just chill out! Exclamation part, Martin. She said, here's why. Usually, and this is so true, as a pastor and as a Christian walking this out in my own life, this is so true. She said, usually in situations like that, your first response comes not out of your spirit, but out of your soul. You're dealing with that thing up here, and the only way to be effective is to deal with that thing from here. And she said, you may be hollering the right words. You may be saying, I curse that thing. I curse it. I believe it's gone. But she said, what you need to do during those times is relax for a while and switch from your soul over to your spirit. She said, this may sound funny, but I believe you'll know what I mean when I say it. Never let the mountain see you cry. In other words, never try to address Satan or any other circumstance he has brought your way when you are feeling weak and upset. Don't bawl and squall while you're telling Satan to try to flee from you. Don't ever let him see you like that. When you deal with mountains and devils, you act like a victorious child of God. You come at him like more than a conqueror. She said, it's all right for God to see you cry. He's your father. If you need to take some time and just talk to him about how much this situation has hurt you, then go ahead. That's appropriate. But don't go out of the throne room that way. You get settled on his word first. You get established in his love and in his power. Spend some time waiting before God, getting things straight in your heart and mind before you try to deal with the situation. When you wait on the Lord, you actively and actually entwine yourself with God and braid his word into your being so that thoroughly and throughout time, nothing can separate you from his promises. There's more, but it's 8:08. So I'll let that in. But here's what I'm getting at. When you have a need in your life, there is pressure that comes from that need that attacks this arena. And what so many people try to do is deal with that situation from this arena, so much so that even their prayer life is coming from here and not from here. And what I'm saying is when something like that is coming against your finances, your children, your body, your health, whatever, you have to take time, get in the Word of God and fellowshipping with God until something drops in your heart and you know without a shadow of a doubt that no matter what you feel, no matter what comes your way, victory is yours. You know it with every fiber of your being. And when you get to that place, friends, you open up your mouth, you speak to those bones, you lift up the power of God, and victory is certain each and every time. Amen. Amen. Going from hope so to know so. Amen. Let's pray before we leave. Father, we come before you. We love you, Lord. You're amazing. And we thank you, Father, for the power of faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we lift up our youth as they're going over to their summer camp tomorrow as a church family. We lift up each and every young person going on that trip. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you enable them to be highly, highly impacted by your Spirit in those services. Mark them out for your kingdom. Mark them out for your glory. Give them supernatural impartations and let everything that they need to hear be heard. Let everything that they need to see be seen. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything at all tonight, come down to the altar.